I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.
Does it for another episode of Flashpoints. Our executive producer is Dennis Bernstein. Senior producers are Miguel Gavilan Molina and Kevin Pina. Technical director is Mike Biggs. Our theme music is written and produced by Charlie Lang. For questions, comments, email Dennis Bernstein at dennis@kpfa.org. Thank you for listening.
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience, KBOO, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 0.
Never been done before
talking about a subject.
To bring you to the light.
Farewell to you.
We're supposed to have something booked for this weekend, but I changed my mind.
situations in retrospect, when the things you say would shift direction when put into action. But I just let it whiz on by. People say hell, me is going to lie. And I flip on, say that's not bad. Now I see my side, now I change my mind. So my blind side got the best of me. But we live and learn what you did in turn. Make me never ever settle for less than what I deserve. And once you mature, girl, you always be second best. I changed my mind, yeah. I changed my mind, I changed my mind, I changed my mind, yeah. I changed my mind, hey. Well, I really can't say I completely blame my naivete, cause it was situations in retrospect when the things you say would direction when put into action. But I just let it whiz on by. People say hell, me is going around, and I flip on them, say that's not right. Now I see my side. It really pains me to see things change, but your limitations would have held me back. The things you say try to underrate me, they were just a reflection of your self-respect. But now I let it whiz on by. You can't tell me hell, me can't fly. Kiss my wings, you can hypnotize me. Hear the M singer say you miss my.
DVD Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon, and I wanted to start the show off with a song and a familiar voice. A Bay Area staple who I don't feel has gotten his full consortium of flowers and props. He's a staple when it comes to MCs. He's one of the best that's out here. His music is always slapping, and the song I Changed My Mind is something that stays in rotation. But we wanted to have him on the show. He has new music coming out. We haven't talked to him in a while. We wanted to update you for people who are familiar with Lyrics Born and maybe introduce some of you, because there's a lot of youngsters out here that's like, is he brand new? And so, nah, he's an OG that's been putting out good music and continues to do so. So welcome to the show, Lyrics Born, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Davey D. I love you, bro. It's good to see you, man. It's been so long.
You know, as an artist, I guess, I don't know if it's a goal, but it always seems like a good thing when you have a song that can just be like, you know, stands the test of time. You know, like that hit record, like you could be 70 years old and people still go, you got that Changed My Mind song? When you all did that record, you know, that one and Calling Out, were you all like, this is going to be like a signature song for us? Or do you even see it as a signature song?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're talking about I Changed My Mind, yeah. It's definitely become a signature song. I don't, you never know though. I mean, I get asked that sometimes, and all I can tell you is that I know if a song is good or not. You know, and even just like how people hear songs from their favorite artists, there are songs of mine that I like better than others. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, that top 10% of my songs that I really like are the big hits, and that fortunately enough, they stand the test of time, like you just said. Sometimes they're not, you know, and I don't really have control over that. You know, I just, try to make the best songs that I can. But the thing is, you know, once you put them out there in the world and in the ether, you really don't have any control over
right
how people are going to respond to it, you know. But as far as I changed my mind goes, you know, that original track was a throwaway. I mean, it was from this kind of interesting. So when I saw back in the Quantum days in the late 90s, when I signed a German funk band called the Poets of Rhythm, that when I signed them, that instrumental was a throwaway of theirs.
Really?
From their album called Discern Define, which I signed and executive produced. And it was originally an instrumental track that they couldn't do anything with it. And I was like, well, you know, I'm also compiling this album called Quantum Spectrum. Let me take this and, you know, turn it into something, and it'll be a good bridge and a good segue from that album to yours, you know, So I recorded it in Chief XL's basement by myself. You know, I had an ADAT. I mean, I'm really dating myself.
Oh, wow. You say ADAT.
An ADAT with a remote control.
That's like saying, that would be the modern day equivalent to saying 8-track.
Yeah.
Because those are two things that just went out of business, you know.
Yeah.
You got to have the special machine and the whole nine to play that. Wow.
That's as close as I ever got to recording on actual tape. You know what I mean? Like, because I've been an independent artist my whole career, man. I've always recorded in home studios and bedroom studios and basement studios, you know.
Right.
And so I recorded that. I had no idea what I was doing. The reason why my voice sounds like that is because it took me a million takes, you know. And I don't know. It ended up becoming a hit. You know, to this day, it's like you said, I mean, it's a signature song, and I'm just very fortunate that I have, you know, a greatest hits album's worth of those kind of songs. You
that
know?
Song is like 20 years old, and you would not think it's that old. You know what I mean? I mean, it's, you know, that's what I'm saying, you know, not to stay too long on that topic, but I just... There's some songs that when you hear it, it sounds as good as it did the first time. PYT by Michael Jackson, I don't care. You play it, it sounds as good as it did. Celia Cruz, you know, you play a couple of her songs, same thing. It's like, you know, somebody goes, you know, that song is like 40 years old. It's like, what? It was born before you was, it was out before you was born.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just some songs that, I mean, like, you know, that's just one of them songs that you just like, wait a second, this came out when?
Right.
You know, I thought it came out last week.
Yeah. Well, thank you for saying that. I mean, you know, that's what you shoot for, and that's what you hope for as an artist. You know, we're always looking for things that are, as they say, evergreen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But,
you know, you don't know. You don't know how it's going to end up, man. And ultimately, it's not even up to you as the artist. You know, it's up to the listeners and the universe, really. So I'm just very fortunate that I have a few of those, you know.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Lyrics Born, Bay Area staple. You mentioned Quantum, so before we move forward, can we get a little bit of Lyrics Born 101? What's your function, where you come from, how long you've been doing this, you know, just so we can understand that you're not a rookie in this.
Absolutely. I was born in Japan. I was born in Tokyo, Japan. And then we moved to, ultimately, we ended up in Berkeley, California when I was, I think, second grade or so. You know, it was in the 80s. And when I got here, that was the first time I heard hip hop. You know, I went to Thousand Oaks Elementary School here in Berkeley.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I'm not sure if I got there. I think I got there after Kamala. I don't remember her being there when I was there. But
wait, so y'all were like kind of in the same class or same school?
No, No, I think she's a little bit older than me. Don't quote me on that. I think she's a little bit wiser than me, like by a few years. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, and maybe more. I'm not really sure, but that's where I first heard hip hop. You know, it was like second grade. I heard Sugar Hill Gang for the first time. You know?
Wow.
And to be honest with you, I knew all the words to the song before I even heard the actual record, only because all the kids on the schoolyard knew the lyrics by heart. I did not, you know, I was fresh off the boat, basically.
So were you learning to speak English then still?
Or no, okay, so I came to America when I was about 3 years old.
Okay.
And then we did a brief stint in Salt Lake City, and then I came to California. But I knew all the lyrics and the words before I even heard the actual song, just from kids singing it on the schoolyard.
Right.
It was probably a good 6 months before I actually heard the song. And by
that's
then,
crazy.
By then I knew the whole thing by heart. You know what I mean? It was wild. And from that moment, from that very moment, I was like, this is what I want to do with my life. You know, from that very instant in the second grade at Thousand Oaks, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And that's one of the beautiful things about hip hop, man, is that, you know, you didn't need to take guitar lessons. You know what I mean? You didn't need to go to Juilliard, you know, you didn't need to, it's a self-taught discipline. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like nobody can really show you how to rap, you know?
Right.
And that's what's one of the things that's so magic about it. And I think that's why it spread so quickly, is just the accessibility.
As somebody who is that young, did you start off writing rhymes, or were you of the generation to just start, you know, saying them off the dome, or, you know, thinking of them and then trying to recite them off your head, so to speak?
Yeah, no, I don't even think the word freestyle was not even, I don't even remember it being in the vocabulary until way later, like high school.
Right.
So, no, I was writing, and, you know, they were all modeled off of, like, you know, the Sugar Hill format.
Okay.
Like, it was all these fantastic stories about Benjamin Franklin's a friend of mine, you know, like, you know what I mean? And it was a really great time, man, because it spoke to a generation and a segment of society that was just ignored and not present in popular culture, you know, not represented in popular culture. And it was really, really something special for me from the moment that I heard it, you know?
Being a kid coming in from Japan, was that something that allowed you to build bridges? Did you find that to be a connecting type of activity?
I think so, man. I think so, because I really identified with the experience, and I really identified with the sense of being, quote unquote, the other, you know? Mm. And I carried a lot of anger for and a lot of resentment for a lot of years for not feeling present or represented in modern culture and modern society and pop culture at large, you know? And so I always really identified with hip hop, and all my heroes were men of color, you know, women of color, you know?
Right. That,
I mean, I just remember 6-7 years old, you know, this was a time that predates anything really, cable. Like, I remember, you know, there were maybe 10 rap records in existence at that time.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was just, and you clamored for it. You know what I mean? It was like,
I remember those days.
You're
sitting there like, it was like, it was like an event. I heard there's a new record out. You got to hear it. Everybody got to hear it. You know, you're going to the store, there's no YouTube, and, you know, and you're hoping that the guy in the store is going to play it, because at that point in time, at least for me, rap was on the low end of the totem pole. It was like, man, we got these funk records, these rock records. What do you want me to do? I'm not taking off this Fleetwood Mac record to play some, yeah. You know what I mean? So yeah. It was a big event. If somebody had it, everybody had to listen. Like 50,000 times.
Yeah. And you know, like, there were so few of these records being made. I mean, there were 12-inch singles, you know, a lot of times, right? I mean, it was rare that a group or an artist even made a full album, you know, back in
the days. Yeah.
And like, I just remember bringing home a UTFO record one time, right? And this was later on. This was probably like high school or something. I remember bringing home, it was either Roxanne or something like that. And my uncle was like, what the hell is that? Sounds like two cars getting in a wreck. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
He was talking about, like, he was talking about, you know, Mixed Master Ice.
Yeah, scratching and everything, like, yeah.
He's like, that sounds like two cars getting in a wreck. And it was so funny to me that he would say that. And that moment kind of stuck with me, because it reminded me to never be that guy when I got older. To just write off anything that the kids were listening to, you know?
So you have a kid.
I do, yeah.
So when your kid walks in and goes, oh man, it's Icy Spicy and Sexy Red, do you go, this sounds like two cars wrecking, or do you go, I'm determined not to be that guy?
No. I mean, sometimes it takes all of my strength, you know, to like not be that way about certain songs. But to be completely honest, man, music is one of the ways that he and I bond, you know, like we will sit there and just listen to music in the car through satellite or through the internet or you know, just or terrestrial radio or whatever. We'll just analyze every single song and we'll just talk about it. Kind of like how I used to do, you know, and you and I maybe probably did back in the day when records came out, you know what I mean?
Then are you surprised at what he likes? Like, I was shocked the other day when my son, you know, just turning 12, was like, man, what do you like? And then he's like, I like this guy here, you know, brand new artist, MF Doom. What? So now we could drive around in the car listening to MF Doom.
To Doom, yeah. I know exactly what you mean. But, I'm very fortunate because he grew up in a very musical household. And when I say that, I don't mean like, not only did mom and dad listen to music 23 out of 24 hours of the day, we create music. So he's
been on stage with you all.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And so he's involved and he's a participant. I would say more than just passively, more than just a listener. You know, he sees the actual creation. And the he sees us walk through the entire process of creating, not just listening. So
if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Lyrics Born. He got brand new music. I'm gonna play a couple of cuts, but you know what? You said something. You said, yeah, there are hit songs that you have, but there's also songs that you like, you know, some better than more. Yeah. I'm gonna let you pick one. Pick one that you say, you know what? This record was really special to me. This was something that I was like, this is Lyrics Born, the essence of who you are. I don't know if it blew up, but for you, this is like when you were penning it.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of tough because each album kind of, you know, is a time stamp for me in my life, you know, but I would probably say one of them is probably a song called Coulda, Woulda,
Shoulda. Oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
The remix of the original, because there's the theory edit, and then there's either one works for you.
That my personal favorite is the original, you know. So
then we'll play the original.
Yeah,
we'll play the original. We're gonna take a break. We'll be right back.
Coulda, skip that. I've been blessed with maybe good bank account, but not a few consequences. And there's a few names that I will not mention. Let's just say they ain't had my best interest at home from the start. It was not what I wanted. She caught me off guard with a charm. It was on. Oh God, never explore you in trouble now. Whoever thought I'd have got hustled? I take some blame, now I can't take all of it, because when man ain't bomb, a smile's a compliment. Tell me, please tell me, please help me, I'm just Albie. Is it my fault? And then I suppose, because I only chose to see the best in folks. It's a shame nowadays I got a question, folks. Once bitten, twice, expression goes.
Now that I'm on my way.
We're back here from the lyric barn. Coulda, shoulda, woulda. Is that the full name? What is it? Coulda, shoulda.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
Who's the singer on that?
That's Sam Sparrow.
Is Amazing. That part of the Quantum family?
No. Sam is an incredible singer and songwriter. He's originally Australian. And he had a really huge hit around that time, around the coulda, woulda, shoulda time, called Black and Gold.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge international hit. And frankly, I was very, very fortunate to be able to even get him on a record at that time, because he was red hot at that time, you know. But I met him. We were touring the festival circuit in Australia together, like 2010 to somewhere around there. And I met him, and a really great guy, incredibly talented, super talented.
So, you know, one of the things that stands out for you is your voice. I know you've been asked a million times, but there's not a whole lot of folks that have that deep baritone. Mm-hmm. There's Melly Mel, there's mm-hmm. Chuck D, there's Michael Frani,
mm-hmm.
it's you know?
Yeah.
Maybe just you and Mike, you know, come together, form a group, the baritones, you know?
Yeah, well, I would also probably put Charlie Tuna in that.
Charlie Tuna, sorry, yeah, that's right.
But
you've done stuff with Charlie. You've done records with Charlie.
I have, yeah, that's my guy, man. I love Charlie.
Did you all sit there and be like, look here, son, I got the voice.
Yeah.
You know, and Charlie's like, no, I got the voice. And the guy from Boys to Men shows up, no, I got the voice.
you said the dude from Boys to Men, that's hella funny. Okay. Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, we all have our voice, you know, literally and figuratively, you know. And you know, it's funny for me, like my voice didn't even really change until I was probably 24, 25.
I was going to ask you, when did you come into that?
Yeah, I mean, because like if you listen to those first early, like even pre-Quantum, like the Soul Sides records, you know, like if you listen to my first record, the Asia Born record, or you listen to me on Black Alicia's Deep in the Jungle, I mean, I don't even sound like that. It wasn't even really till Balcony Beach that I think, you know, my voice actually got deeper, but it took time. It took a lot of time, you know, to kind of.
Do you know what that was attributed to? Just.
I've always been a late bloomer, man. I don't know. I don't know. I've always been a late bloomer. Everything that I've ever done, I've achieved sort of later than other people, you know.
How many albums do you have?
Goodbye.
I mean, your catalog is deceptionally deep.
Yeah, Goodbye Sticky Rice, which comes out in a couple weeks, man. It comes out October 25th.
Okay.
That's going to be my 16th album.
16th album.
16th. And that doesn't count, like, I think I've done like probably 6 or 7 EPs, 8 EPs maybe.
So do you count the albums, what is it, Lyrics Born Presents, or you have like the show albums? You have a bunch of these show, they're like mixtapes with Ice and all that, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, so then there's the mixtapes also.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I think I've like the variety show mixtape.
The variety show, thank you.
Yeah, or like the literary. No, I don't count those as albums. I don't count those as albums.
So you got 16 solid albums.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I was working with my publishing administrator recently. When we were uploading the Goodbye Sticky Rice, the new one, it's almost 500 songs out there, you know, in the world.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's deceptive, man. You don't realize, like, you have a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I debuted professionally in 1993. I mean, that's 31 years ago. Like,
is that really? Jesus Christ.
That's a fact. That's a fact. That is a historical fact. You know? Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking about 16 albums, I don't know, 6 or 7 EPs, 10 mixtapes, all my features on other people's music. You know, it's a lot, man. It is a lot. It's a body of work. It is a legit body of work, you know.
So, you know, I'm going to play something off your new upcoming album. It's called Goodbye Sticky Rice.
The new album is called Goodbye Sticky Rice. Yes.
All right. So you got two slappers on here. Take It Too Far. Mm-hmm. But I also like What Dreams Are Made Of.
Yeah.
So I start off by saying these are the funk. And so you've always had a funk sound to it, but This one, it seems like you were going there a little bit harder than usual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if you were like, we need to make a funk statement, or if it just came out that way, but it is definitely, it seems like, to me, I'm just sitting back and, you know, you're listening to all the stuff that's going on around the world. And he said, you know, let me hold my coffee for a minute and let me let these people know what I'm about.
Yeah.
It's a reminder, like, you must have got me twisted. Here you go.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some of that. You know, I think really, though, with this album, I wanted to make the album that I would listen to, you know, over and over and over again. Not that I didn't feel that way about my other albums, you know, but when I was working with Teak the Beatsmith is the guy that did, you know, 90% of the music on this album.
Right.
He's actually Chief XL's cousin. He did.
Oh, wow.
Chief XL from Black Alicious. So he's family to begin with. You know, I've actually worked with him for many, many years, but never on this amount of songs for one album, you know?
Okay.
And so he did, we have 10 songs on the album. I think he did 8. You know?
Okay.
And I just threw so many references at him. I was like, let's do something. Let's make a song like this. And I would throw like 5 different songs at him. And he'd be like, the text I would get back would say, off top. And then I would get the track back. He's so fast. I would get the track back like 24 to 48 hours. I am not lying. You know, and you know, he's done a lot of music over the years, obviously for Blacklicious, but he did, you know, most notably, he's done, you know, almost all of Ice Cube's music for the past 10, 15 years.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he's a funk meister for real.
He's a real musician.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Is he playing or sampling or doing a little bit of both?
He's playing.
Okay, sounds like, because the... You're sitting there going, it kind of sounds, but it ain't.
No, he played, like, if you listen to Take It Too Far, bro, he played drums, bass, keys, guitar, the horn parts, you know, he's brilliant.
Ain't no record company can go, sir, that's our, no, though. That's lyrics born in, you know, Teak's music.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's right. And
ain't no sample clearance here. This is us.
That's right. And that was the point, really. That was the point. I knew he could capture the vibe, you know.
Real talk. Yeah. Let me play this record so everybody can hear the funkiness to it. It is called What Dreams Are Made Of. We'll be right back.
That's We got the funkiest rapper on time with us. I won't, that's enough. I won't not to judge it. If my brother fall down, I'ma prop him up. And if something from my past keep popping up, remember who you are, not what you was. I ain't trying to live my life anonymous. We want our flowers now, got posthumous.
We're back here. Man, that's a funky record, What Dreams Are Made Of. Let me ask you, as a writer, as an MC, is there a theme to what you're doing, or you just, whatever's on your mind at a particular point in time is what you get down on?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. It just depends, man. You know, honestly, I let the music tell me. So, okay. I don't always nail it the first time, you know? Like, so I try not to think about it too much, and I'll just start writing. Once I kind of hear what the music is telling me, I'll just start writing, you know. Most of the time I get it right the first time, but even with Take It Too Far, like I probably took 4 different approaches to that song in 4 completely different ways. And each time Teek was like, bro, just ride the beat. Just ride the beat. On this exactly. one, let the music do the work. Just ride the beat. And so that's what I did. You know, I just rode the beat and I found a vocal register and a vocal timbre that kind of fit in the musical landscape of what he was doing, you know. And that's what I did, you know. And 9 times out of 10 on this album, that was his direction. He was like, just ride the beat. Just ride the beat. Everybody knows you can rap. Everybody's heard you all over the tracks before. Just ride the beat, you know.
And that's a good thing. That's the mark of experience. I've noticed people that are kind of in the same age range are all putting out albums now, and the experience comes in. Like, you know, Chris Berger, CB, new album, Love Phenomenon. I think his MCing's gotten better. You know, LL Cool J's new album, he's like, is a different type of thing. It's like, man, it feels like it's home cooked. P-Rock and Common, same thing. It seems like a lot of folks are, first of all, doing albums that it's like this one I'm listening to all day long. And then it's just another level. It's like you all have hit another level, kind of like way to sometimes jazz musicians. You know, they get to a whole nother space. I don't know if you felt that way with this album, but it comes across from the songs I've heard.
Thank you, man. You know, I think when you hit a certain level of experience, you know when it feels right. You know? And you don't, like in the past, maybe, you know, on some songs I had to do that because sometimes you got to like twist the Rubik's Cube until you find the right combination, you know.
Right.
But I used to have to do that on every song, you know, and I don't do that now because now I have the experience to know that, okay, this feels right. We're not going to second guess it. I did it in the moment. It was good. I'm working with the producer who I really trust their judgment and their feedback. You know, I don't have to go and turn over every single rock to find the answer. You know what I mean?
Real talk.
Like, this feels good. Trust your experience. You know, like I was a real big boxing fan in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, man. And I just remember, like, you know, Roy Jones in the corner and you know, his trainer used to be like, trust your conditioning. Remember your training. You know what I mean? And that's, I tell myself the same things too, you know, remember what you've accomplished, remember what you've done, you know, you know what the next move is, you know, if this feels right to you, trust it, you know. So, you know, oh, sorry, no, not Roy Jones, but Bernard Hopkins, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they're both good.
They're both
incredible.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that's like, you know, Kobe Bryant,
yeah,
LeBron James, you know, it's like, yeah, you could swap either one out, you didn't lose much.
Yeah, no, but that was all, you know, because a lot of times I felt like, you know, as solo artists, as solo rappers, as solo MCs, I mean, we are kind of boxers in the ring, you know what I mean?
Right.
A lot of times, and you know, you have to develop a repertoire of moves. You know, you have to sort of trust your instincts. You got to know when to sort of lean in. You got to know when to sort of pull back, you know.
Right. You said you're a solo MC. And yeah, I guess you are. But I always see Lyrics Born with Joyo Velarde. You want to let everybody know who that is? And yeah. how do you two approach music? Because you and your wife have put out some slappers yourself. Yeah. And I just want to know how that works. Do you all go into a separate room, come out with something? Are you all sitting at the kitchen table going back and forth? I mean, what's the process when you're doing songs with her?
Well, I got to say, you know, I've worked with a lot of singers in my career, you know, and she is by far the best. You know, she is by far the best, you know.
Are you saying that because that's your wife?
No.
She in the back room somewhere?
She is, but no. No, I mean, she is. I mean, her pitch is amazing. Her tone is amazing. She understands every genre. You know, she understands every style. She understands me, you know, obviously as a person, but musically as well. She knows what my tastes are. You know, she knows my history. She knows what I've done. So I can throw references at her and she'll understand, you know.
Right. You don't have to explain everything.
That's right. And if I get stuck, she always has really simple, great solutions. You know, like if I get stuck on an idea, she always has really great, simple solutions. And she's incredibly professional and very fast, you know. And it's, you know, I'm really fortunate, man. You know, I mean, I can't understate that. You know,
which record stands out the most for you all?
Well, I think probably Balcony Beach is one of them. You know,
Balcony Beach.
Yeah.
Okay.
We made
that. That was like, when did y'all do that? That's like
96.
I was gonna say that's like in the 90s.
Yeah,
that was, man. I was like 96. What, I was like 6 years old then.
Yeah. Oh yeah, bro. I don't believe that, but yeah. I'm trying to think what else. So I think that. I think.
I like Trouble.
Oh God, yeah. That was wow, that you went deep on that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else? On this album, I think What Dreams Are Made Of, you know,
Is she on this one?
That's her singing on What Dreams Are Made Of. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There's another song on this album. The next single actually is called Can We Still Be Friends? I mean, she killed it on that, you know.
Right. So,
I'm very lucky, you know, that I have that kind of a partner, you know, so
right.
Musically and otherwise, you know.
You know, speaking of which, since we're going deep, the one that you did with Aloe Black, was that about her too?
That was, yeah.
Can't Lose My Joy. That is, whew, that's a searing song.
I damn near cried when he sent that back to me, you know.
Did you really?
I did. Yeah. I did. I mean, that was, it really spoke to his genius as a songwriter. You know, I just told him what I wanted the song to be about. He says, say less, sent it back to me a few days later with the whole, everything was recorded and mapped out.
Right. Like, so this is all true, obviously.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
And she's much better.
Yeah. I mean, she's a cancer survivor, man. You know, I mean, she's, you know, she's been in remission now for probably 10 years, I think 8 years, something like
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah.
That was the second time, you know, that was the second time. So, yeah. That was, I mean, that was a very powerful song. I mean, to this day, it's probably one of my best songs.
Yeah.
Conceptually, best written, you know, just musically, I think. Yeah.
And considering the times that we're in, you know, when we've seen a lot of people get hit, you know, I think that song takes on added weight, you know, and as you said, music can be healing and bonding. And I think that's one of those things that people kind of rediscover and be like, you know, thank you.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, and I really appreciate that, man. And one of the things that has been so rewarding for me, just being in this line of work, is having people I don't know come up to me over the years and be like, man, that song really hit home with me. I was locked up at the time, you know, or I was going through a divorce, or I had just lost a loved one, or, you know, I was going through a breakup, man, or, you know, I lost my job and I was looking for, you know, just like, and those songs really helped me through those times, you know. And though I can't really put a price on that, man, because I have those songs that do that for me and have done that
right
for in my life, so I understand how valuable that is,
right?
You know, when somebody says that, you know,
well, I think those songs, you know, it's not just the subject matter, but they're things that you don't hear but feel. You know, it's done with conviction, and I think to the point, that song was with conviction. You know, yeah. When I heard that song, I'm like, man, that's, you know, it's almost like going to church. That's a conviction song. This ain't like we got to get the album done, we need an extra song. It ain't, you know, let's see if we can get this population of people, we'll do you know what I mean? This is something else. And I think that goes back to even a lot of the OGs doing these albums now. You feel conviction now. You know what I mean? It's like I don't need to do this album as LL Cool J, but I want to. I got something to say.
I got to that point. I just want to say, man, like, this resurgence I think that LL has had has been really inspiring for me, you know, like just seeing him come back with Rock the Bells, with, you know, I mean, he really, like a lot of artists, like a lot of my peers, you know, last year with the 50 year hip hop anniversary, I mean, he was right at the crest of that. And I mean, seeing him come back the way he did, when I felt like he had went and pursued other things, you know, for many, many years, which is absolutely his right to do, you know what I mean? It's been really inspiring to see, you know, and so I really have to tip my hat to the legend, you know, to LL. He is really one of the greatest of all time and all time. In all time. And
I hear that.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. As we wrap up, I'm gonna play Can't Lose My Joy, and I'm gonna follow it up with Going Too Far.
Take It Too Far.
Take It Too Far. Yeah, I'm giving your songs new titles. Going Too Far. You know.
Yeah.
You know, when is the album coming out, and what do you have plans for it?
Yes, I'm going on tour starting in 2 weeks for the Goodbye Sticky Rice tour.
Okay.
Because the album comes out on the 25th. So
okay.
Of October. So I'm juiced. I'm juiced. Hopefully I see you out there, Davey D.
Definitely going to, you know, check for you. Well, tell everybody when the album's coming out, how to, you know, what to look out for, and then we'll leave out of here with these songs back to back.
October 25th, Goodbye Sticky Rice, my 16th album.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much, Davey D, for having me on, man. I love you, bro.
No doubt. And we'll be on the lookout for your tour. Because you're going to be doing something, what? You're going to be on the 10th? You're going to be down at Mo's Alley in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be up somewhere else, I saw.
Yeah, the first two dates are the 10th. At Mill Valley at Sweetwater.
Sweetwater, thank you.
And then the 11th at Mo's Alley, you know. And I got,
okay.
We got the full band, man. Come say goodbye, you know.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So I can either go to Mill Valley
or
to Santa Cruz.
That's right. Or both.
Yeah, you know, if I go to Mill Valley, then we got to go to Capitola and, you know, go to the restaurants there and then make our way over. I haven't been to Mill Valley in a long time, so maybe it's just a good excuse to go see you, and you know, maybe we can, you know, conjure up and let them know that Lyrics Born is there. We don't need Huey Lewis. Because didn't he live out there? Remember Huey Lewis in the news?
He's from Marin somewhere.
I thought it was Mill Valley that he was out there.
It might be. I know he's from Marin somewhere, but I'm not quite sure where.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be on the lookout. Lyrics Born, we appreciate you. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Watching you suffer is the hardest thing that I've ever faced. But I can't lose hope. And I can't lose faith. Yeah. In my heart, there's a space just for you that can't be replaced. So I won't lose hope. And I won't lose faith. I can't lose my
dream. Baby, can you come over here, please? Take a look at this and see what you see. She had a little thumb poking under her shoulder. I noticed before, but it looked like it's grown. So we go to the doctor's office. Fingers crossed, there's probably nothing. He lowered his voice slowly and told us cancer is the diagnosis. Whoa, hold up. Cancer in a prime at 29? Wait a minute, that can't be right. We were instantly terrified. Her face turned white like a pantomime, and I was momentarily paralyzed. Doctor said it like it wasn't nothing, but we hearing this for the very first time. He goes, okay, people, 4 weeks till she goes for chemo. I held her close. I felt her feet go. Tears flow streaking down those cheekbones. She goes, baby, what are we gonna do? At this point, we both crying. I said, I can tell you what ain't gonna happen. Ain't nobody dying. I told her, baby, we're soldier. We'll turn over every stone in Boulder. But in my heart of hearts, I'm falling apart. But I can't show her, cause if I seem defeated, she'll feel weak and the beast will just keep feeding. God, please, she can't leave me. This is me, I'm bleeding. Another one in her abdomen, one the size of a golf ball, the other the size of a tantrum. But we blue-collar artists gotta keep touring to pay the mortgage. Unfortunately, life don't give you intermission during performance. Every single night she's singing like her life depended on it. It was like a soul was screaming, chasing that demon out of her body. Our songs hit number one for 6 weeks at radio stations, but it's bittersweet cause the chemo failed. Next is radiation. I'm coming all out of pocket for the deposits and the deductibles. We running out loud of options, trying my hardest to keep her comfortable. I'm arguing with the doctors in the parking lot of the hospital cause we use alternative medicine. We have the right to anything possible. Days away from treatment, we at stage four, ain't no stage five. Doctors are all speechless with amazement in his face and eyes. He said, I ain't never seen this in any other patient of mine. The cancer's disappearing, it's fading, praise God. Spiritual passion plus support from people that love you and won't let you leave this planet. Baby, look how much we've accomplished. Look how much we've grown. Doctor said we'd never have kids, now my son is 8 years old. I know it's been a minute since you let me write a song for you. It took a while to finish, to relive it was so hard for you. For all you've given me, I wrote the greatest of them all for you.
Watching you suffer is the hardest thing that I've ever faced. But I can't. Suffer is the hardest thing that I've ever faced, but I can't lose hope.
drop. Ian Man at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man, Chris Juwan, Kim. Yeah. Innovation, stimulating ill conversation. Anything else is just imitation, simulation. Step into the zone, the Bay Area zone. Hard Knock Radio, let's go. Big shout out to Needin' Davey D.
Yeah, right, feel me. Yeah.
Honing down at Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
Kinda crazy though. Oakland stand up.
Yeah. Stand up.
Ensemble Big Night Wolves.
Yeah. Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bellevue. Come on. Check out.
Why every novice think they hard not when they ain't going all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats trying to eat till they're ready from the steel gray beats. Say please. Maybe they'll save you a seat at the table with a great red making a speech. Say the beast and their lovers are named with a please. Hey, there's some shade on your name in the street. You go. It ain't David D.
Real Talk Radio.
You and I rocking with the best in the West.
Yes, Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
Let's go.
there. This is Jello Biafra. If you're tired of the OCA, Walt Disney, Westinghouse, General Electric, and police departments telling you what you should listen to, stay tuned in to KBOO Portland, listener-sponsored, non-commercial community radio.